This is Kelly Blewett. I'm joined tonight by Robin Stevens Pays, the author of the middle grade science fiction series titled The Edge of Yesterday. Published by Small Batch Books, this series is designed to entertain and inspire middle grade readers to consider careers in STEM and STEAM. Welcome, Robin. You talk about this series as nurturing a growth mindset as opposed to a fixed mindset. Can you explain what these mindsets mean and why they matter for teens?
Yeah, I love that question. So I had the honor, really, of interviewing Carol Dweck for a story about this idea of a growth mindset and how it impacts our ability to learn. And it doesn't even have to be for children and in school, although school was really where she started with that, and in fact, with math classes. It also helps in organizations and in companies and your professional growth and development. But the idea of a growth mindset versus a fixed mindset is that in a growth mindset, what the understanding becomes is that we can all get better at things even that come hard to us. So for me, math would be a good example of that. I had math phobia. And had I understood that it wasn't necessarily that I master all of the formulas of algebra or trigonometry or calculus, as much as that I could improve through effort and through different ways of understanding how we learn, you know, how the brain learns, and trying different techniques to master that skill, I think I would have liked that a whole lot better because I love to learn, A. And B, it's the idea that you can improve your own level of mastery. In other words, you don't have to compete with Albert Einstein because most of us will never be Albert Einstein or, you know, some other math genius of today. But you can always be better than you were at understanding and improving on what you understand about any given topic. The fixed mindset, by contrast, is that I either have this talent or not. In my case, again, it would be I'm either good at math or I'm not. And if I'm not, why should I bother to try?
Can we kind of connect this topic to your middle grade science fiction series, The Edge of Yesterday? Who are you trying to reach through this series, and what does a growth mindset mean for those readers?
I am trying to reach primarily middle school age kids, although that being said, the new book in the series that I'm working on now is really geared more towards a high school audience for a variety of reasons. But middle schoolers are the target for this whole first three books in the Leonardo series. The Edge of Yesterday is out now. The second book, Da Vinci's Way, is coming out in the fall. And then there's a third book in the series that really wraps it up. The way that my protagonist, who is this STEM smart girl, and STEM, you may know, stands for science, technology, engineering, and math, and I call her STEAM smart, so I add arts into that, because she's also a musician, and she's also very creative, and Charlie is her name, Charlie Morton. Charlie thinks that she can do it all, and she's 13 years old. So she really comes with this growth mindset. She is bright and learns quickly, but she really has this sense deep inside of her, whether it's based on her family and conditioning and environment or just something inside of her that provokes her to understand this, that she can learn a lot about everything. And that's kind of her goal. She wants to be a modern-day Renaissance girl like her hero Leonardo da Vinci was the ultimate Renaissance man. And so what provokes her, what stimulates her to even want to build Leonardo da Vinci's plans for a time machine is her idea that if it works, she can go back in history and learn from the master himself.
Now let's talk about Leonardo da Vinci and why he emerges as this figure of admiration for your protagonist and maybe for the readers who would identify with her. I mean, he's kind of a Renaissance man, as you said. What is it about him?
Well, Leonardo was a fascinating person. He was born out of wedlock. So back in the 15th century in Florence, Italy, and, you know, in the eyes of the Roman Catholic Church at the time, to be born out of wedlock was a sin. So he was not allowed to matriculate in society the way the children of nobility would have been, where they would have been expected to get what was called a humanist education during the Renaissance. But Leonardo was fascinated. He was curious about everything. And so he was left free for the first 5 or 6 years of his life to kind of roam around and explore nature and just ask questions about what he saw. And because he had this exceptional art ability, he was able to draw what he saw and then work from that to try to explain what it was. And in his own way, he was a very early scientist. Science was not a field at that time, the way we know it today. And in a way, he discovered it, you know. So science is about observation and testing and having a hypothesis and then having somebody else prove your hypothesis and doing all the research. That system wasn't defined at the time of Leonardo, but he kind of instinctively glommed onto it and pursued that his whole life. And in addition to his art genius, which, you know, there are very few people, if any, I know of in the world who can emulate that level of talent and mastery, he was exceptionally curious. And so that's what the lesson of Leonardo da Vinci for everyone is. We can all be more curious. So I'll give you a great example in Leonardo's case. I heard Walter Isaacson, who came out with this great biography of Leonardo. I had the opportunity to hear him speak about the book when it first came out. And he said he did extensive research, obviously, about Leonardo da Vinci and was able to actually examine a lot of his codices, his notebooks. And so he gives the example, Leonardo said in one of his notebooks, describe a woodpecker's tongue. Who thinks of that? You know how that's so interesting, Kelly, because he found that a woodpecker's tongue can encircle its brain when it's pecking. So it provides cushioning from the impact of the woodpecker pecking on a tree. So think about that. Does that have implications for traumatic brain injury and how we would prevent that or protect against that, especially, let's say, in athletes who are in sports that have repetitive trauma to the head? What are the implications of that or in any kind of brain injury? So that was also the genius of Leonardo, was that he asked those questions, and in looking for the answer, he was able to, and this is my terminology, he was able to invent the future. And, you know, I believe he did kind of mentally time travel. Mm-hmm. You know, we don't know if time travel is really a thing, although we can certainly travel in our imaginations and, you know, sort of envision what the future might be or the past or the present or different ways of seeing the present. So I have this screensaver on my phone, and it's a Leonardo quote. The mm-hmm. quote is, learn how to see, realize that everything is connected to everything else.
Well, Robin, thank you so much for coming in and telling us a little bit about your new series, The Edge of Yesterday.
Thank you so much, Kelly. It's a delight talking to you.
It's been a pleasure talking to you, too. I've been connecting with author and educator Robin Stevens-Pays about her new science fiction series, The Edge of Yesterday. More information on this title can be found on our website, wvxu.org/aroundcincinnati. This is Kelly Blewett.